Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Hey guys, this is Shannon. You're listening to The Thing Is. Thanks for coming back to join us. I'm here as always with my lovely co-host, Maddie.
Hello, everyone. How you doing?
Good. Does your sweater light up like how you showed me?
No, that wasn't the shit. That was not. No, that was. I would never ruin the surprise, Shannon, and send you a picture of a sweater beforehand.
But by the way, this sweater looks very close to the picture that you showed me.
It is the same color. So I got you, right?
You did. All right. And today's guest, comedian. You may recognize him from Cobra Kai, of course, Comedy Central, This Is Not Happening with Ari Shaffir. He has his own podcast, the Jersey Boys podcast. And like I said before, it's a very funny comedian, Brett Ernst. Welcome to the show.
Thanks. You guys mind? I'm going to shut my phone off real quick. I'm not going anywhere. It's right here.
I appreciate that.
It's
yes.
going off. Sorry.
Okay. It's okay. I wish I could show the picture that you sent me. Okay.
There we go.
All right.
How you doing? Thanks for having me.
Great. Of course. I'm very excited to have you on. So before we get into the three segments, which will be mostly you, usually the first like couple of minutes, we kind of do a little bit of catching up. And I wanted to talk about what's happened over my week really quickly, and then we'll get into the three segments.
Hey, I'm all ears. I'm interested.
Okay.
Want to find out what happened with you.
Okay. So we're pre-recording this. This will air, I believe, on December 28th. So we're wearing our Christmas sweaters, but this is actually airing after Christmas. Last week's episode now, we recorded in real life last Saturday, and the guest was Sal Vulcano. And during that episode, I talked about how I've recently had trouble with my appendix about a month ago. And on Saturday, last Saturday, my pain started to come back in my stomach. And I was like, oh boy, I know where this is going. That's last Saturday. On Sunday morning, I woke up and I'm like, God damn it, it's still hurting. And now my temperature is starting to go up. So I took a shower. I blew out my hair. I straightened up my house because just in case I was going to have to be out for a couple of days, I made sure everything was perfect. I made sure all my work was done. And then I went to the emergency room. When I first got there, the first PA or whatever that I saw, he was like, it's not your appendix. He's like, we'll do the CT scan and everything, but there's no way that it would be your appendix and it would have lasted 3 weeks or however long. And I'm like, oh my God, this is the first relief that I had thinking I'm not going to have surgery. Just for you to know, Brett, I know a lot of people are scared of surgery, but I've been operated on once before and I woke up during the surgery, which is why I was terrified of going under anesthesia.
Wow.
So long story short, I was there for about 5 or 6 hours until my CT scan came back and they're like, your appendix is coming out in like 2 hours. I was like, Jesus Christ. So I was terrified. And I told anybody that would listen, I was like, I woke up during an operation before. Please, please, please don't let that happen again. But also don't kill me with too much anesthesia. And they didn't kill me. I lived. My appendix came out. And
question though, Shannon, what the hell is an appendix for? Like, what do we need it for? Do you know?
I don't think that there is an answer that anybody knows, because all of the people I spoke to in the hospital were like, you don't even, my cats are fighting. They're like, oh, you don't even need it. Like it's really just a nuisance. Someone told me that like when you're a teenager, it may help with your immune system or something, but in your adult life, there's no purpose, which I have a hard time to believe. I mean, like, I feel like the human body is made a certain way for a certain reason.
Well, I mean, we have wisdom teeth we don't need anymore. And then I guess, it's still evolution. So I guess our appendix is left over from whatever we were before this.
That's a good point. So, and then speaking of useless organs, right before I went into surgery, the doctor told me.
You're going to mention me.
Me my co-host.
Mention a penis or something.
That's just any man's organ that Shannon's around.
That's also true. I know you don't know a lot about me, but I also haven't had sex in 2 years and 9 months. So that's why he's saying it. it's a useless organ. Yeah. I'm really not doing good in life. So,
I mean, as a woman, it's like, do you really, I mean, having a vagine, that's kind of like, you know, it's easy to get laid, isn't it? Or you just don't want to?
I don't want to with anybody that I have met as of right now. You know, I would like to like meet someone that I would like to have sex with. So to wrap up my whole body falling apart thing, right before I went into surgery, the surgeon was like, I'm sorry, my cats are fighting. This is just awful. My day's falling apart slowly. So he said, if it wasn't for the fact that your appendix was showing up in the x-ray, we would say it was your gallbladder causing the problem. And they're like, so when we're in there, because they do the laparoscopic surgery, which is like with the camera and tubes and shit in my stomach. And they were like, we'll check while we're in there. And if anything, if we have to take it out, we will. They didn't take it out. But in my follow-up, they said, we're going to just discuss next steps about possibly removing it. So I may have to go for another surgery for my gallbladder.
Why do they keep leaving shit in you and then fucking sewing you back up?
I don't know.
Like, just take it out while you're in there.
I know. I don't want to go through this again, but yeah. So, but I'm okay. I'm alive and back to work. So that's the story. It's not very interesting.
You're like seeing like fucking bad mechanics of surgeons out there. Exactly. What the hell's going on?
I mean, I don't have great insurance, so it's not like they're milking my insurance for money.
I said, well, when I brought up what was going on with you to Erin, she's like, why isn't she getting, like, what? I mentioned the insurance thing. She's like, oh, so what would that matter? I'm like, what do you mean? What does that matter? It's like, you think that fucking people don't want their money? Like, they're going to be like, no, come back when it's rotting and then maybe we'll throw you on the table.
Yeah, exactly. Well, maybe that's why they're doing it. Maybe that's why they didn't want to do the surgery if it's not absolutely needed.
Yeah, exactly. Do you have Obamacare?
No, I have fake insurance. Remember, I have a fake.
You should look into. We should probably bring this up later, not on the show, but there's a. I'll bring it up later. Remind me. There's a High Fidelis or some shit.
Okay, I'll try. Anyway, there we go. And so this is our Christmas episode now. As you see, I finally have my tree up in the background. I put it up yesterday. It's extremely bright for the camera, but I think it's festive. And my
Merry Christmas to you guys. Then
Merry Christmas.
That's fucking awesome.
Back there. Ebenezer Scrooge cat.
That couldn't have been better timing. Merry Christmas.
Go fuck yourself.
That's how I feel about it. All right. So let's get into the show now. So Brett, the first question we normally ask first time guests on the show is to tell a story about your worst date experience or your worst sexual experience, meaning something went terribly wrong.
I'm not a kiss and tell type dude, but
what about fucking tell? How you feel about that?
Finger banging tell. No, I would say, well, one. I mean, I got a date that was just like was awful, and then another one where I went to this chick's apartment. It was really weird, man. I didn't even see it coming. So I guess I couldn't function. I'll tell you both. One's real quick. My buddy hooked up with this chick. We were in the city, and this is years ago, and she had a friend, and she was a sweet girl. But you ever get those people in the car that just like they sing really loud with the radio? So yes. You can go, oh, wow, you can sing. You know?
Yeah, that's why I do it.
And but she kept fucking the words up. You know what I mean? Like, God, there wasn't one song she knew the words to, but she was singing like she knew the words to him at the top of her lungs. And it was really uncomfortable. Her friend was like a real, real high end, the one my buddy was with. And we went to a restaurant and she asked for Kalamata juice or some shit. And it was like at the you know where it was? It was the Fridays in Times Square.
Oh, boy.
Okay. You know, like a real high end place. And she was acting all high maintenance and everything. And the girl started because I got into it with the friend. It was just awful, but it was just it was very uncomfortable. But I just still remember that girl singing at the top of her lungs and not knowing a word to one fucking song and committing.
That's obnoxious. I don't understand the thought process behind that. There is somebody in my life that I don't want to give specifics just in case they're listening, but whenever music is playing that should make the atmosphere like better, this person will like She knows the words though, but she sings like above the music. So like, we can't both enjoy the music. We have to both just like listen to her sing. And it makes me so angry. We met her.
And it's like, I should probably stop doing that.
We get it. You kind of know the song. Yeah. Right? We all do.
I always know them very well, and I know I can belt them out. So that's when I fucking go for it. I'm like, now's my time to shine. Elvis fucking Can't Stop Loving You is on. Yep.
Really? So you do that in public and far and make everybody feel uncomfortable. That's fine.
Depends how many beverages I've had. Yep.
You just, I can't stop. You're like, come on, dude.
Speaking of singing as a weapon, I finally figured out when it's appropriate for an adult to sing the happy birthday song to another adult. And it's when it's your mother's birthday and it's in front of a restaurant and she's getting very, very embarrassed. That song is only fun when used as a weapon. So that's just a note to take home for the listeners.
Oh, that's right. Your mom's birthday just passed, right?
It's today.
Oh, yeah. Happy birthday, Mama Jester Skulls.
You going to start singing?
No. No, it's not fun if she's not here to humiliate.
I'm okay with singing happy birthday, but I feel like what's worse than singing the wrong lyrics to a song is when they start to sing it and then just like blur their way through the words. You know, it's like, and it's like, why even do that? I understand if you're home by yourself, but not in public.
I just felt bad for her, man. Cause like, it was just, you could tell she was a nice kid and her friend was just the opposite. But we ended up leaving them at the Friday. So I didn't even, I couldn't stand her friend. Just so obnoxious. He was one of those girls too that, you ever meet those women that think they're famous because they had a one night stand with somebody famous? And then it just, the girl was like a one upper. By the way, I was only 23. You know what I mean? It's not like I had anything going for me, but whatever. But that was like one of the worst dates. Other than that, I was pretty particular if, you know, who I go out with. I don't really have a lot of first dates. I usually know a chick for a while and then say, hey, you want to grab something? You know what I mean? And then take it from there. That makes sense.
Absolutely. I am like, the longer that I spend on dating apps and stuff, the more that I realize that I think that that's really the only way to go about it. Like, I've been like on Tinder, whatever, and I'll try to start conversations with people, but I can't get excited about a stranger. Like, regardless of like how hot their picture is, I can't get excited because I don't know anything about their personality. And unless they're like a perfect texter, you're never going to figure that out.
Well, I do think as a woman, though, it takes, for a guy, if we see something physically nice, we're automatically in, we're all in. And then it takes a lot for us to be like, ooh, I don't want to clip this girl. You know what I mean? But for a woman, you could see a guy and be like, oh, wow, he's handsome or he's attractive. But I think you need more than that in order to, you know, really be excited.
That's 100% it. I was talking, I think last week, a friend of mine was trying to set me up with this guy and he's like a firefighter, he got sleeves of tattoos, like he's jacked, such a good looking guy. And we talked a couple of times and I'm like, I don't know, whatever. I need more than just the looks.
But you also get those women that are like, you know, if this guy doesn't get me within 5 minutes, it's like, all right, relax.
That's also kind of Shannon too, though.
That's awful. Yeah. That's too much work for me. God, all right, that's fine. Then go. You must think very highly of you.
Shannon's very like.
Shannon, I'm talking rhetorically.
Shannon's very like.
I'm throwing you under the bus right now. I'm not throwing you in this conversation.
She's like, I want you to always be around, but also never be here. That's the kind of guy Shannon likes.
I need a little bit of effort more than just a hi, how are you? Like, I need just a little bit of something.
Well, look, you know, it's not, I don't know. I'm a pretty direct guy. I spend my whole career trying to be fun. I'm not trying to be, but you know, whatever the fuck it is, I do stand up. It's like, all right, am I going to go over to you and be clever? Even when I was younger, I never did any stupid pickup lines. I just be like, hey, you're attractive. You want a drink? You know what I mean? And then we talk like, you know, like normal people. It was never my thing to, I never threw lines, so to speak.
Have you ever dated through like apps or online dating or anything like that? No.
My buddy, cause I got divorced. Well, we've been separated for a while, but my buddy got me an app thing. It's called Raya or something.
Mm-hmm. The famous people one. Yeah.
So, but like even online, like I see pictures of these women like climbing mountains and fucking horseback riding, like all kinds of crazy shit. And I'm like, dude, I can't. Like for me, I get up at 2. You know, like it's, I don't even golf. Like I'd be in Arizona and everybody's like, hey, you golf? I'm like, fuck no. Why would I get up at 6 a.m. and walk around for 4 hours in the heat? You know what I mean? Like that's the time. Night guy. I don't like sports cars. I like nice Cadillacs, right? Smooth rides. You know what I mean? I'm not like all over the place, but, the apps, I'm not really on that. I mean, somebody gave it to me as a gift. Like, you know, it's like, hey, welcome. Cause they vet you or something on that.
Yeah. You need like references and stuff. Yeah. But it's the same thing with guys on there, like on Tinder or Hinge or whatever. It'll be guys with like a picture of like a tiger or like surfing or like, you know, doing that thing where it's like those jet things under their feet. So they're like flying over the water. Just all this crazy shit.
Like the Green Goblin, like the fucking thing the Green Goblin rides.
Yeah. And I'm like, I don't know. I wake up, I go to work.
Yes. That's hilarious.
Like I wake up, I go to work, I come home. Like I can't compare with the crazy shit.
That's fucking hilarious. Yeah. I've seen that thing on the lake, the Green Goblin thing that he's flying around with the fuck out of here. No, I'm not big on the app thing. I'd rather just talk to somebody, you know,
yeah,
close. But I'm old school like that.
And that's a good thing. But it's also like that, how do you meet people that are outside of your circle?
Well, I mean, it's one of those things too, where I meet a lot of people and, you know, I was with the same girl for 10 years. So there was a lot of women that, you know, I would express interest, but I would not be interested in because I was in a relationship. Mm-hmm. And then once I got out, you know,
he's had a list.
Well, actually, you know, a couple girls slid right in. Hey, how you been? We heard, I'm sorry. You know, that type of shit.
Mm-hmm.
But, who knows, man? You know, who knows? But I wanted to tell you the worst. This was one of the worst experiences. It was hilarious, but I don't know. I didn't even see this shit coming, man. I met this chick after a show years ago, and very attractive lady. She had tattoos on her. You know, she looked like she talked. You know, it looked like we were gonna have fun. So I get to her place, and as soon as I walk in, she had around her apartment like merry-go-round horses, right? With but in the position as if they're going up and down.
Uh-huh.
And in between each one of those, she had clowns.
Jesus.
Oh, right? But then she had like a fucking popcorn machine, like it was a carnival shit. And then she's like, hey, and she goes, let me put some music on. And I was like, if you put on that dun 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 dun, dun, dun. Fucking gone.
It'd be a phonograph.
It was like this weird Burke Williams spa shit where it was like whoosh, and then she started dancing towards me like trying to be sexy. It was just really fucking weird.
Did you go on a date with Phoebe Buffay?
With who?
Did you go on a date with Phoebe Buffay?
I don't know who that is. Who's that?
I'm friends.
I'm gay.
Oh. No, I don't know. No, man. I never, you know what? That's crazy. I've never seen an episode of Friends. Is that weird?
Yeah. Probably better off.
I've never seen one, but anyways. So yeah, she, then we tried to fool around and, you know, I was creeped out by the clowns and shit. And then it just wasn't working.
Can't imagine why.
But then she starts getting mad. She starts getting mad. Well, I was hammered too, man, but she starts getting mad. Like, why? Uh-huh. So I just quick thinking, I'm like, well, I'm on antidepressants, you know?
Good one.
And then she goes, oh my God, which ones? And start rattling off like fucking 10 of them. And I'm like, oh shit, man. Now I'm in a situation.
You could just pick one then.
I did. I said, well,
yeah, she let you handle the key evidence. She was a terrible arguer.
Dude, I just got out, man. I found my way. I excused myself. I said, I apologize, you know? And I just, as soon as I got out, I just fucking, I quick ran. You know, you like power walking like a mom.
He's fucking Sherman Hemsley.
That one, I get Sherman Hemsley. All right,
said it wrong too.
That was a kind of a PG-13 story.
It's that's terrifying, but also like another one of those things where it's so weird how some people just completely lack self-awareness. Like if you have like a weird thing, maybe like, hey, like, have this weird thing for like merry-go-round horses, just an FYI before we walk into my apartment. You know, just like a little something shows that they're like sane.
But do you think she knows? I mean, like, I'm one of those people where like you have your own taste. You know what I mean? So I'm a big fan of like religious art, like Michelangelo, Rembrandt, right? So I have like three pictures that are reprints that I have there, but I'm not going to go in and say, "Hey guys, really quick, before you come in, I got three religious art photos. Prints that I really enjoy." So, you know, maybe clowns are her thing, but you know what I mean? It was just that what she would say, "Hey, are you into carnivals?" I left with balloons and shit. Fucking cotton candy machine.
That's what I was going to say. Isn't that what you got your girlfriend, Maddie, for her birthday recently, a cotton candy machine?
I got it for Christmas last year, which apparently was like the worst gift ever. But I thought it was cute and adorable.
I can get her the popcorn maker this year.
Who wouldn't want to have cotton candy at their behest? You know?
Yeah, I think that's a strong gift, Maddie.
Right? Thank you. See? We know.
It's a great gift.
See?
Before we move on, let me take a minute here and talk about my favorite sponsor, BlueChew.com. BlueChew offers men a performance enhancement for the bedroom. What does that mean? In layman's terms, strong, reliable erections. At BlueChew.com, you get the first chewables with the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. And being in a chewable form means they can work up to twice as fast. And you can take them on a full or empty stomach. So there's literally no wrong time to take a Blue Chew. There's no in-person doctor visit, no awkward conversations, none of that. You do this from the comfort of your couch. The chewables from BlueChew.com are prescribed online by a doctor and made in the good old US of A. BlueChew gives you the confidence you need in bed every time. You and your partner are going to love it. Chew it and do it. And we got a great offer for you. Go over to BlueChew.com, use the promo code Shannon, that's S-H-A-N-N-O-N, you just pay $5 shipping, they're going to give you your first order for free. That's how confident these guys are in their product. My drawer is always full of them. They know yours is going to be too. Once again, that's BlueChew.com, promo code Shannon. BlueChew.com, promo code Shannon. Go get your Blue Chew today, and let's get back into it.
All right, we're going to move on to the next segment because I feel like you're going to really deliver here. And the next segment is Bad Things.
Bad things with you.
And this is the part of the show we talk about fight stories, physical altercations. I know that you have been in many physical altercations. So I will say the most memorable one and then the most recent one, if you want to tell those.
The ones where you lose are the funniest. You know, I talk about it in my act. I couldn't tell how many fights I've been in my life. Like, I'm not trying to be a tough guy, but I will say I got about 19 strong losses, like epic, you know, and those are the funny ones. There was one, I mean, because listen, a lot of times they're quick and they're with your friends. Like my one-on-ones were basically in middle school. And then after that, you know, you're out with your friends and there's always going to be a problem, especially where I grew up, you know, like I grew up in North Jersey and then went to high school in South Florida. So there was always shit going on, man. You know, so everybody was, it was like a sport almost, you know, and if we were looking at like my 20 friends, if we're going toughest, I'm maybe 17. You know what I mean? But anyways, there's one, without getting into details, that's pretty funny, where I was up in Tallahassee. Mm-hmm. And I had a friend of mine that was friends with a couple dudes because Miami played Florida State and I'm a big U fan all day. So we went up there for the game. And I was hanging with a couple of my boys, and long story boring, there was this place that was open till like 4 a.m. And as men, like we're willing to risk our lives for Vagine. You know what I mean? Like it's 4 a.m. I'm in Redneckville I had a Miami baseball jersey on. Right. But I took it off. So I'm just in a wife beater and back then, you know, I was like 220 and I had that stupid, you ever see the white R&B singer chinch the one line thing that goes around like,
oh, I hate that fucking strap. Yeah.
And then I had no hair. Right.
Oh my God.
And you know, and I'm just in a wife beater and I'm wearing Timberland boots. Like what the fuck? What is this guy? What is,
I know exactly this guy. I grew up in Brooklyn. I know this guy.
So I'm out there. Mind you, Tallahassee, you know, it's the Bible Belt, man. There's a lot of good old boys there. So the only place open was this like country western place. So we went there with a couple of my friends. Long story born, it's 4 a.m. I'm by myself because in my mind, I'm thinking I want to get laid, right? So I'm like I'm looking for something. Meanwhile, I'm surrounded by fucking rednecks, and I had a dip in. You know, I was chewing and I drank Killian's Red all night. I don't know if you remember Killian's Red. It was like that thick liquor beer. It was almost like Guinness. So this kid comes running in and he was like, you know, some dudes outside trying to jump me. And he knew we had a mutual friend. He's like, yo, aren't you friends with so-and-so? I says, yeah. Like I'm John Wayne. And he's like, yo, you know, these dudes try to jump me. And I'm like, well, fuck it. Let's do this. Like I'm fucking, you know, I got the dip in. As soon as I walked outside, boom. I mean, I got stole and I had the chewing tobacco in my mouth. So like now it went in and I'm swallowing it. And I wasn't an experienced dipper and it's just not a good thing. And I mean, I'm getting rolled and I'm throwing up at the same time. It was awful. I was left. I remember laying in the street. I mean, I kept getting up. I was trying to get shots in, but like I was covered in vomit and blood. And they were just like, ew, you know, they didn't even want to touch me.
That is a fucking Saul Rosenberg level beating.
I was all fucked up, man. It was hilarious, though, man. I could barely stand.
When did they give up? When did they just think that you had enough?
When I was covered in vomit. Like, I don't think anybody wanted to touch it at that point. I did get booted, though. I got kicked in the face. Oh, and then I had to find my way home. The dude left.
That's freaking crazy.
Yeah, that was the norm for me at 22, 21. Oh, we were always getting into stupid.
But did you have like serious damage after that, especially getting kicked in the face?
I mean, you know, we used to say when I was younger, it's only skin, you know? So yeah,
as long as it's not the bones.
My eye was like, I got broke all the blood vessels in here. So it was like red. Yeah. And then this was swelled up. Oh, but the good news is that I got cut inside my mouth. So you couldn't really see it. Right. And, but it was pretty bad up in there. And my buddies kept fucking with me, man. They're like, yo, man, we saw some dudes with, you know, like kept saying like they knew who did it, but you know, it was just funny, man. It was just funny. I deserved it. I should have fucking went home.
Oh God. That whole curb stomping thing is the most disturbing thing. I don't mind a good fight story, but, we've had it told on the show a couple of times where, at the end of it, there is like a curb stomping. It's just such a ruthless thing. I guess I understand when you're in the heat of the moment. This morning we were watching on Real S Podcast, the Walmart fight. It was between two chicks, supposedly over a PS5. And one lady was saying to the other one, like, oh, like she was like really like goading on the argument. And the other one is like, leave it alone, leave it alone. And the one who was saying, leave it alone, like, tore the other one apart. And then at the end of it, she didn't have her shoes on anymore. And she's just like stamping on the girl's head with her socks at a Walmart. Freaking crazy.
Good.
Yeah, that's, sometimes it goes today to this day, the most disturbing thing I ever saw. I mean, I've seen a couple of people get shot and then, you know, of course people stabbed. That was always normal. Back then, everybody had a knife on them. I heard a dude one time. I was coming out of a Denny's. It had nothing to do with me. Nothing to do with me. And by the way, there's always like when we were growing up, it was the Denny's parking lot, but there's always like this parking lot that kids hang out in. And you know, there's always a problem. Like Denny's is the most violent place in America from like midnight to like 4:30 a.m. You know what I mean? 5 a.m. And I'm leaving, and these kids were throwing hands in the parking lot. And I see the dude in the corner of my eye. I'm just walking. I'm minding my business. And I heard this guy connect with a bat. And it was so disturbing. So disturbing. It sounded like a fucking, like somebody hit a home run. It was just, you know, and you heard it. And they just kept going. And the dude, and I just fucking got in the car and left. You know what I mean? But I still remember that.
Oh, my God.
Listen, man, you know, a lot of people think fighting's like in the movies, especially that, you know, I've never really been in anything, and it's not fun. It's, you know, it's just not like the minute you let go of the first punch, you're like, why the fuck did I do this? You know, yeah. You're out of breath within 15 seconds. You're getting stopped. It's just awful.
I don't think I've ever seen anything like that gory. Somebody did get shot. I've been a bartender for, I don't know, a billion years. And somebody did get shot at the bar that I worked in, like 3 feet in front of me. But I didn't actually like see the damage except the blood afterwards. But there was one time where I was working at a bar and they shut it down and it was just staff in there and some like staff friends. And I went into the bathroom and all of a sudden I hear like stuff banging around and I'm like, I can't go anywhere. And like this fight is happening with people and spilling into the bathroom where I am. And then when I come out, I see that somebody had pulled a razor blade and just sliced the guy like across the side of his face.
What year was this?
It's probably like nine years ago, maybe.
Oh, okay. Because in the mid 90s, that was a big thing, especially like a lot of Puerto Rican kids used to hide the razor blade in their mouth. They'd spit it out. They'd be like, and then fucking you get cut. You're like, what the fuck?
I feel like didn't like chicks used to do that to other girls for like fucking with their guy or something to like mess up their face. I feel like I remember that being a thing.
I would be on your side of the
ball. Did you two grow up in Oz?
I feel like it's very similar. I grew up in Bensonhurst, Brooklyn. So it was a bunch of like.
I got all my families from up around there, like 84th and 14th. They're like Diker Park.
Yeah. Well, I went to Diker Heights Junior High School and I grew up right. The most recent place was 82nd and Bay Parkway, but I grew up on 19th and 74th Street.
We used to go to 18th Avenue all the time, the feast over there.
The 18th Avenue feast, that's where all the fights were. That's where
Little all the fights Susie was always there, by the way.
That's right. Yeah, and everyone would talk about whoever she banged that summer.
Little Susie, for real? Yeah. She was flipping everybody?
Yeah, that's what I heard growing up.
Matt, do you know who Little Susie is or no?
I don't know any of this. I'm so like, I'm so.
No, but you know, but you know the girl from Friends though, right? And you don't know who Little
yeah,
Susie is?
Yeah, I told you, I'm a fruit. Who's Susie? Susie Q? I know Susie Q. Artist.
I feel like freestyle is also like a very niche thing.
Nah, I'm a white suburban kid. You two are talking about fucking like stabbings every other weekend and fucking you both seen people get shot. And then I say like, oh, the city's dangerous. And then people like you tell me, no, it's safe. It's fucking, what's the word they use now? Where all the white people move in and kick the black people out. What's
gentrified.
Yeah, that's what like Lewis's fucking excuse was. That's how I went to his apartment. He's like, no, it's gentrified, doggy. It's safe. It's not. I saw a guy doing heroin over there.
What year, because like, you know, I grew up in the 80s and 90s, so it was a different time, but, you know,
how old
especially
you?
Like South Florida was crazy, you know?
How old are you?
48.
You look fantastic. Yeah. I thought you were 36.
Okay, wow.
Jesus.
I thought we were much closer in age than we are. I'm 38.
Yeah.
It is weird that when guys think that or like sense that a guy is like kind of tough that they want to test it. And like, we've talked about this before, but like being in Vegas with Michael Bisping for when Lewis had a fight a couple of years ago, and there were guys that were actually trying to, and I don't know if you know Michael Bisping, he was a former middleweight champ of MMA, UFC. And he,
that's a fantastic description, Shannon.
I am in so much pain. Every time I laugh, it hurts more. I'm just trying to
get still hurting.
Yeah. So, and then guys were trying to actually start with him and he's like a champ. And it's like, mm-hmm. What are you trying? I don't understand what you're trying to get us unless you want him to punch you so you can sue.
Dude, people used to pull that shit with Liddell when like Liddell was the guy who was the face of mixed martial arts as it stands. And like, of course they're going to test the Brit. Why wouldn't they? You know, he's handsome. He doesn't have a mohawk and a tattoo. I'm just saying people are stupid. If they're going to fucking get chesty with Liddell in a bar, they're going to do it with Bisping too.
In my experiences, and again, man, I was in the nightclub business for years, even before I got into comedy. I used to run after hours back in the day. And, you know, I've always noticed in my experiences that, you know, the guy that's the one that is really going to beat the fuck out of me is the guy that I bump into and I say, excuse me. And he says, no problem.
Mm-hmm.
And it is, it's a common theme. It's very rare that you get a guy that comes in and is, you know, with the chest and fucking peacocking around, that somebody's going to take him out. Somebody's going to drop him. What's worse is the women that think that they're fucking tough, that they're running their mouth, and then they get stole. I mean, I don't know if you've ever seen a chick get knocked out, but they escalate it. They're like, you can't fuck, like, you know, because they know that a guy can't touch him until a guy touches him. And then all fucking, then everything just breaks loose, man. Actually, we had a guy one time beating his girl in the parking lot. So we came out and, you know, your instinct is to, you know, help the chick. So, you know, we a little rough with the guy, but then the girl jumped on my friend and started digging her nails in his face. And then we had to throw her on the ground, and then they both got arrested. You know, but
that story never ends differently, by the way. It's always the same fucking thing. Yeah. You know what I mean? There's a fucking guy beating the shit out of his chick. Some other fucking guy steps in to try and help, and then she turns on him, and then he gets arrested. Usually is how it ends.
I've seen another time a guy, and she thought she was justified, by the way, which was hilarious when they were arresting her. They were at the bar and this guy went over to talk to the girls. And she was like, I'm with my girlfriends, whatever, right? Started doing that shit. And this was a big dude. And he says, all right, well, you don't have to be rude, you know? And she's like, fuck off. Like, you know, it's girls night. So the guy said, man, you know what? He called her a bitch. She grabbed a champagne bottle and smacked him across the face with it.
Holy shit.
And it cut him right here. So he grabbed her and just, you know, threw her on the ground. And then it was all fucked up. And then she got arrested for assault, but she kept going. And then she started crying. I'm just a girl. And he called me a bitch. And it's like, it doesn't give you an excuse to crack somebody with a fucking champagne bottle.
Yeah.
But I remember they arrested her for felony assault with a deadly weapon. Dude, when I worked in clubs, like I said, from like 18 to like 26, you know, so you know, because you were bartending, there was always crazy shit going on.
Yeah, especially when I worked in Bay Ridge, and it was.
I know. we'll do this afterwards. I probably was always out there
probably
with my friends.
Yeah. Well, it was I'll just say the one place that everybody knows, which was like Legacy, and then it changed to Suite and like a bunch of other things.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah. And it was just at the time, it was like back then when I first started, it was more so like the bouncers kind of had like free reign to do whatever they wanted to do. So if someone got out of line, they would take them out the side door and like throw the guy a beating and then just leave him in the alleyway. I feel like that's not really a thing that happens so much anymore, but it kind of self-regulated the club and like kept everybody kind of under control so they wouldn't have to call the cops.
Especially back then, I mean, you know, you never know whose club it was and there's nothing you could do about it back then.
Yeah, that was exactly that it. Too,
especially with the Italian kids, which are my own people, by the way, you know, but every time there's a problem, you know who my father is?
Yes.
No, my uncle, you sure you want to do this? I'd look at my, well, it's time to close now. it must be 1:45 a.m. because now we're getting name drops thrown everywhere.
Oh my God. That's what I used to deal with. Like the guy, like the younger kids that were like the shittiest to me would be like, oh, do you know who my uncle is? And I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ. And they're always like the shittiest ones. Yeah.
Yeah, always. You're like, no, I don't know your uncle.
All right. We're going to move on to.
You should know who he is.
I hope pretty soon we know who your uncle was.
Him out. Nobody touch me. I'm walking out. Nobody touch me. You touch me, we're going to have a problem. I'm walking the fuck out. And then they walk out on their own reconnaissance. Dude, I'm not even kidding. I got 8,000 of these stories, man.
I feel like more often they would leave as they're on the phone calling their boys to wait outside. And then the whole thing would continue throughout the course.
Yeah, we
got to
talk off air. I guarantee we know the same people.
We probably do.
And by the way, this isn't a way for me to fucking weasel your streak. But I guarantee you we know something. We have to.
Yeah, absolutely.
Before we move on, let me take a minute here and talk about one of our favorite sponsors over here at Guest Digital, YoCreatem.com. The new year is upon us, and there's no better way to celebrate, in my opinion, than by going over to YoKratom.com and picking yourself up a $60 kilo. It's the world's best value in Kratom, shipped right to your door, no questions asked. Now, if you've never heard of Kratom before, ignore this ad. I'm not talking to you. There's no reason to hear this and go out and try Kratom. I mean, you can if you want to. It's none of my business, but I'm not telling you you should. But if you are already into Kratom, then celebrate the new year with YoKratom.com, home of the $60 kilo. It's unheard of. YoKratom.com is one of the biggest sellers of Kratom nationwide and made YoKratom.com so you can buy directly at wholesale prices. It's quality stuff. We've heard feedback from other fans. They confirm it's solid. And like I said, this is the only place where you'll find $60 kilos. Last time, if you're currently a fan of Kratom and Gas Digital, go to YoKratom.com, get yourself a $60 kilo. Let's get back into it.
Okay, we're going to move on to the final segment, which is scary things. And this is a part of the show we talk about weird.
Or Irish?
I'm Italian. I'm Italian, Dutch, and German, but raised, you know, with the Italian part of my family.
I'm Italian and German as well. Same thing. Well, Sicilian mostly.
Yeah.
Don't you thank God you got that German side? I do, because I'm over. I'm my whole, like, my older brother was 6'1". I'm 6'2". My little brother's 6'3". And I was raised by my mother's family, but you know, I go back to like Jersey City, or it's like Gulliver's Travels, because everybody's this fucking big.
Yeah, I got those genes.
You got that.
I got all the bad Guinea jeans and all the bad fucking English jeans. I got the fairest skin of them all, and I'm just short. My life sucks. Weren't we doing scary things?
No, I mean, hardly any of my mother's German, and hardly any of like her genes really made it to me, because I'm also short. I'm 5'1". My sister's taller than me, but yeah, there's not a lot of height in my my family.
My stepdad, like technically, he's my father, whatever, adopted, but he's my stepdad. So whenever they see him, he's German, like almost all German, and he's 6'2", and you know, in good physical shape, and people will look at me and go, "What happened?" And that's a very, by the way, just that's an insulting question for those who wonder. It hurts every time.
Did you guys 23andMe it yet or no?
I have.
What'd you find? Anything interesting?
Nothing of value.
Did you find everything that you thought you were? Because I always heard I was Native American. I just didn't know how much.
I just found out like exactly how awesome I am. Except for the short thing.
Is that what it came back?
100% awesome.
It's like, oh, you're fucking 8/10 Italian, but also 7/10 fucking awesome.
I expected to find more because of like my appearance, that I look more like Hispanic or different ethnicities. And I expected to see like more of a mix of stuff. And I'm like 90-something% like European.
I found some like Spanish and Mediterranean shit in there. And people think I'm Mexican all the time.
I got Moroccan. I found out Moroccan.
Do you know where that comes from?
Italian. Most of me is Southern Italian. But you know what's crazy? Like if my brother did it, he could come back like 75. The
genetics
is different with everybody. So, you know,
Erin came back different than her sister, my fiance.
Oh, really?
I always forget. People don't know.
Yeah, I think that my sister is like, well, I don't have naturally blonde hair, obviously, but my sister's like blonde hair, blue eyes. I feel like hers would also come out very differently. But I had a friend years ago that was like going to school for, I don't know, maybe like a genealogy or something. That's probably the wrong word. But she took all of like my family's information and like researched back to like Ellis Island records and stuff to find out like on my father's side, which is the Italian side, like where we came from. What is that beeping, Maddie?
It's Erin just fucking plowing through every drop of Big ZD that I made tonight.
That's okay.
Will you please keep it down for the goddamn show?
I haven't had a fucking carb on purpose, by the way. I haven't had a drop of alcohol or a carb for a month. Mm. And I'm preparing for Christmas Eve, man. Because I'm all in 3 days. I've been counting it down. I'm killing it. Because we do the fish. You guys do the fish?
Not anymore. That part of my family has kind of like died off. Oh, we don't do that anymore, yeah.
But I just can't wait to eat.
That's awesome.
And Christmas Day, it's on.
I also haven't drank in like a week, but I mean in a month rather, but that's because my body is slowly falling apart. I'm very excited to finally have a drink. And I bought that freaking bottle of Terramana, the Rocks tequila, and I haven't been able to like really crack into it because I've been dying ever since.
That's all right, he's gay as fuck anyway.
How dare you?
I gotta be honest with you. It's more impressive yet I had a dick in two years.
I haven't had a cock or a carb.
I haven't had a carb. You haven't had a cock in fucking 3 years.
It is. It's almost 3 years. March will be 3 years. It's freaking crazy. At this, I don't know. There's no changing at this point.
How long since you've had any meat?
Also about a year. About a year. I gave vegetarianism a try about a year ago.
I thought you meant you haven't been laid, but you blew somebody a year ago.
No,
I swear to God, I'm not trying to be crass.
No, totally fine. I haven't.
I just got a text and then I heard you go, it's been a year for the meat. I thought it was a whatever the word is.
Euphemism?
Yeah, whatever that term is.
I haven't even like made out with a new person in like 2 years.
Oh, Shannon, I can hook you up.
What are you doing?
I don't know. But with the pandemic, like there is no escaping at this point. I just have to settle into it.
I just moved to Vegas. That's why, again, it looks like I'm in a fucking, nothing's on my wall right now. But
in witness protection.
But no, dude, listen, I was in Florida for most of the pandemic. My friends, I'm doing Austin in a couple of weeks. My friends in Texas are, you know, nobody gives a fuck. Except in these certain areas, you talk to them and it's like, you know, they're almost, it's almost like it's a movie that like, and my friends in LA are like, what are you doing? Are you out? Are you okay? I've been traveling. Yeah. I think I had this shit in January anyways. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What I'm saying is that, you know, get out, go live, man. You guys are young. Well, I don't know. Cause your appendix is all fucked up.
Yeah, I'm 38. I'm not that young anymore, but maybe I should go to like,
go enjoy your life.
Maybe I should go to Florida or at some place where things are a little lighter.
I want to move. You want to move, Shannon?
I want to move to Hawaii, though. You want to move to Hawaii?
I go to fucking Hawaii. Well,
where would you do that? You're going to fucking pay out the tax.
Milk is like $7 a gallon in Hawaii. Get the fuck out of here.
I don't drink milk. It's all right.
All right. Well, maybe not the milk isn't the big deal, but everything's imported. How about South Carolina? You down?
No, Las Vegas is the place. Texas, or no state income tax at all.
I thought about Texas, too.
I like Texas.
Nashville, maybe. I want to get the fuck out of New York, Nashville, man. I'm done with it.
Nashville's good too, but I will say that Vegas has a lot of stand up still going.
Mm. So Vegas would be nice.
That's the spot.
Yeah.
Just feel like it's like too dark though in Vegas. Like it really is. Like there's just what, like all the murders and just all the constant sin. I feel like it's too much. You know.
I mean, if you're near the Strip, but nobody lives.
But my
near the Strip.
My uncle's in Vegas though.
Southern area, and then there's Henderson. Yeah. Like the suburbs out here, it's great.
Yeah, it's confusing because I always think of like Vegas as like only the casino area. I forget there's a whole like city around it or whatever.
No, Summerlin's really nice and Henderson Valley's really nice. I mean, it's beautiful out there.
You guys are kind of on top of each other out there, no?
I mean, not really.
How much property do you have like in your neighborhood?
I just bought a condo, man.
Oh.
Are there tarantulas there?
Probably.
Yeah, I heard. I haven't seen any yet.
Scorpions.
I bought a home in Ohio with my wife where I lived for 2 years, and you know, it was a nice size home, and I just don't want to do that to myself again.
You don't like Ohio? Because that was another thought.
I loved Ohio to death, man.
Yeah.
But you know, we had a pretty big house, which you get a lot for your money over there. Mm-hmm. Owning a home's a lot of fucking work, man. You know, so
yeah, you got to be into it.
Yeah, you gotta. I meant like, I did so much work on that thing. I laid the tile, the outlets, all kinds of shit, and then, you know, you had to mow the lawn, and it's just a pain in the ass. It ends up costing more, and it's just me here now. So I just bought a nice little 2-bedroom, and you don't have to worry about anything. You know, they take care of it.
Yeah, that is a nice side.
Yeah. Anyways.
Either way, I'm down in New York.
I'm open to moving to a different place, Maddie, so we can discuss. I'd really like
Let's
to
do
Hawaii,
it.
Though.
Not Hawaii. Plus, there's great white sharks in the water there, aren't there? Like a lot.
There's great white sharks here.
Sure, there was like a blue whale in the fucking Hudson 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, the humpback
so.
Or something. So cool.
Yeah, a humpback. Yeah, that was it. Not a blue whale. Those are huge.
There are great white. I think the biggest shark ever caught was like in fucking Seaside Heights or some shit.
Yeah, they get really freaking close
to the Jersey Shore. They pulled it out of the water. It was fist pumping.
Little fish. We know Jaws was based on a fucking tiger shark in the Hudson.
Was it?
Or in this area shark? Anyway. Yeah. Oh, no, bull shark. I'm sorry, bull shark.
Yeah, I think that's right.
There was a bull shark in the area here. Yeah.
The Amityville Horror was, which could be a good segue to the scary shit.
There you go. That is close, yeah. Yeah, they redid that whole house. But let's officially move over to that segment, which is scary things.
What I did there, a little no-look second pass. You like that? That's why I make the big money, kids.
And this is the final show. We talk about weird, creepy, unexplainable, possibly paranormal experiences. So yeah, the Amityville house, they completely like renovated it. But speaking of which, this has had nothing to do with that, but just another scary movie. You know how like their HBO Max or whatever took over all of Warner Brothers releases and they'll be releasing it through that streaming service? I believe it's HBO Max. And what's coming up is The Conjuring. There's a third Conjuring coming out, which I'm very excited about.
I didn't see the second one.
Oh, you should see it. Those are great movies.
It was good?
Yeah, they're all good. I really like them.
Did you guys see The Marmaluke or The Babadook, whatever the fuck?
I saw The Babadook, yeah.
It was all right.
My favorite. You should see Come and Play. It's like it's a similar kind of idea where it's like, you know, reading the book and then like weird shit starts happening. It's so much better than The Babadook.
What's it called?
Come and Play.
Come and Play. Okay.
It's really good. I spent $20 to rent it like an asshole, but it was really good.
Yikes.
Yeah. So anyway,
that's Brett. Spumoni Gardens. Oh wait, that's a different.
Of course. Go ahead. I have many stories actually about Spumoni Gardens. I can't say on air, but yes. Okay. So, do you have a story? Do you have something weird, creepy, possibly unexplainable that's happened to you?
I mean, yeah, but that's like, so, you know, especially like if you have something weird happen to you, it's like, it's especially like with my friends, you're afraid to talk about it because people think you're crazy.
That's why we have people come here and tell us the stories.
Yeah.
You're safe here.
There's one that's really, really long. So I don't know if we have time for it, but I'll tell you a quick one.
Depends on how good it is. I'll tell you right now, how long it is directly proportional to how good it is. Like if it's long, it's going to be really good.
It's unbelievable.
Long
and it's unbelievable.
Nah, go for it.
I'd rather tell you off air. I will say this though. All right, well, fuck it, I'll tell you without getting into details. So there, my younger brother, when he was really little, I'll tell you something else. This one's good. I'll tell you guys off air. When I was a kid, I was playing that we lived in West Virginia for like a year, 2 years or something like that. When I was really little, I was like six, and the neighbors had this big ass like yard, and we were supposed to be napping. And I, you're a kid, you have the little kid friend. And then the mom was like watching us. So we were supposed to be napping, but we ran out of the house and we were running around and we were hiding. And in the backwoods, they had a cemetery there. Mm-hmm. And when I was little, there was this lady in like a little house on the prairie dress sitting perched on one of the fucking like tombstones, but it wasn't like this one. It was like a square one. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like you could stand and sit on it.
Okay.
And I was talking to her and you know, and then I literally had like a fucking seemed like a 5 minute conversation with her. And then I fucking ran because she was calling for us. Where the hell are you? You know, and I ran and she said bye. And then I took off and, you know, I told my friend's older sister, and because she was like 14 at the time. And then I guess nobody lived around there. So I don't know what the fuck she was doing. But it's like, if you saw it, it was like a development. Almost where like there was all these big homes around. So it made no sense. Like why she would even be there.
And it seemed like her dress was out of place. Like she was dressed weird.
She had on, if I were to tell you, it was powder blue with like little flowers on it, but it looked like it was knitted. Mm. Like some backwoods country shit. So she could either have been from the hills or just but she was weird the way she was talking to me.
You know, do you remember what she said?
I remember it feeling weird. Just hi, you know. And I was like, hi. And she's like, what are you doing? I said, I'm you know, running around. And she was like, oh, and was just, but it's like, she was just perched on this fucking thing. And then, you know, as you get older, you don't know if you imagined it as a kid or not, but it was pretty fucking real. And the funny thing is, I ran into my friend's older sister, like, I'd say about 6 years, 8 years ago at a show. And that was the first thing she brought up to me. She goes, I tell people that story all the time. And I go, you remember that? She goes, yeah. I go, good. I wasn't imagining it then.
So she thinks it was something paranormal also.
I mean, yeah, I do. I mean, if I were to bet, I would say, yeah, absolutely. 200%.
So you believe that spirits and this type of thing is a possibility?
Absolutely. 200%.
Did your family believe in spirits and stuff?
They're Sicilian. What do you think? I got 5 crosses right now getting ready to put up. I'm dead serious. I got to get them blessed. Of course they do. I mean, my mom's all into that shit. Everything's a sign. You know, mm-hmm. It gets to the point where you're like, all right, relax, Carol. But, you know, my grandfather, you know, the men in the family are like, eh, the women are all in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, nobody wants Malokia, none of that shit.
What do you think happens when we die?
I think me personally, I mean, I believe that there's an afterlife. It has to be. It's improbable that there isn't, you know?
So do you think like heaven?
I mean, you know, look, there's a lot of cross things going between the Bible and then the art. Like, you know, there was a big religious renaissance period, which is why I'm friends. I'm a fan of a lot of those prints where people created it. I mean, a lot of the stuff you get from like Milton's, what is it, Paradise Lost. And, you know, there's a lot of things that have fiction. And then if, you know, depending respectfully, if you believe the Bible to be true, mixed with like things we know that don't claim to be true, you know, a lot of folklore, a lot of pagan stuff intermixed, you know, there's a lot there. But if you want to break it down to the science of it, absolutely. I mean, if you believe in a God, then it makes sense. If you don't mm-hmm. believe in God at all and you think we're just, you know, going to become compost. But if you follow even in physics, like with the laws of thermodynamics, energy can't be created and it can't be destroyed. I mean, right. And we're energy. Now we don't know if we're going to be a conscious energy.
Right. That's the thing. Yeah.
You know, you don't know that, but you do know that, you know, it's got to go somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you look at the universe in itself, I mean, you know, a lot of people don't realize, but the Big Bang Theory actually came out of the Vatican. A lot of people think Hubble did it, but he didn't. It came from the cosmic egg theory, which was a Jesuit priest. His name was George Lemaitre, Lemaitre. But anyways, the idea was of the cosmic order of how things came. I mean, that's where the Big Bang Theory came from. But God has always been, a creator has always been in that equation. And even if he's not, I mean, both these theories are crazy if you think about it.
Yeah.
Like we have a being that created the universe. So this being created out of nothing created the universe. But if you believe Big Bang, this explosion created out of nothing created the, so they're both out of nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They both start out of nothing. So
yeah, I agree that I feel like the answer is somewhere in between the two. But I mean, for people that don't believe in like a God, you know, there are so many things which we've talked about on the show before, but like in like cave paintings and folklore, like you said, but around the world, how so many of the images match, you know, as far as like, this is more down the road of like cryptids, you know, or angels, or, you know, different things that there is no like physical proof of, but there is like drawings and stuff like that, that are all the same all over the world of stuff that was never proven to exist.
And again, it could be fucking aliens, but it's not like these people, like, all right, I use the same probability in aliens. Okay. I've never seen one. I've never met one, but the odds of our planet being the only one with life in an infinite amount of planets is improbable. But the idea that you have this perfectly working universe and this body that, you know, feeds itself and gets rid of things like the appendix, you know, that it evolves and adapts and you have all these different life forms. I mean, to just think that it just appeared here at a circumstance when and then you have I don't want to say infinite amount, because now they did find, I think they mapped the universe. They feel it does have a beginning and an end, but you have this number of these types of planets all over this galaxy alone. And to think that there wasn't somebody that just kind of thought this up or created it, or some type of being that's above a human. I mean, to me, that's improbable.
Yeah. Also, when you just like backwards, because obviously I've been thinking about like my body personally a lot lately and like how the human body works. But it's like, if you go backwards and then like how little the pieces are inside the human body, and how they're discovering like smaller and smaller portions of that, and how all of those pieces happen to work perfectly together to like keep us alive. It's freaking crazy to have like evolved from.
And we're not even that old as a species. I mean, I think maybe we're 100,000 years, and that timeline keeps changing with new things found. You know, I'm not one of those people who are like, oh, humans are a virus. And no, we're pretty fucking remarkable. I mean, the fact that we're talking to each other in three different locations, I'm in Vegas, you're in New York. I mean, we've left our atmosphere already. We've killed a lot, but we also studied and helped a lot. You know, we're a paradox, but we're also a young species. You know, I'm not down on our humanity yet. You know, and that's the other thing with the atheists or the people who don't believe, and the religious extremists. To me, they both miss the beauty of religion or the beauty of God. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Well, with both of them, sorry, Maddie, I'll let you go. But with both, it's like, I just feel like when you think that you know the answer to something 100%, you're never going to actually know the answer to it, because you're closing yourself off to new information. And with extremists and with atheists, like hardcore atheists, like you're shutting down the opportunity to intake more information because you think that you already know the answer, which it's impossible for us to know the answer.
And both are very difficult to have discussions with. I mean,
yes,
the atheist is a smug, fucking annoying dickhead. Not all of them. I mean, almost all my friends are atheists, by the way. I'm not just saying that. They all are. I mean, you know, they fancy themselves intellectuals. And by the way, a lot of the Bible But when we're talking about God and ascension and, you know, that type of stuff, I'm all in. But now we're talking about talking snakes and shit, you know, then you're like, okay. But then when you discuss things with the religious extremists, you kind of get the same apprehension where you're like, you know, well, there is some science to this too, buddy, you know, where they speak more out of judgment.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? And absolutely. It's just a waste of time to even discuss that. But again, you know, I think when we die, I think all of us are going to go, oh, okay.
Now, that is my... That is what I really hope for. No, I hope for like,
okay. Now that, and then the religious person, all right. I kind of thought that, I didn't know. Really? That's what it is.
I feel like for me, it's going to be, what the fuck?
Maddie is like the world's biggest pessimist.
What was it all for? Come on, to learn that? You could have told me that.
It's so funny though, that people view the world from such a narcissistic perspective where, you know, of course there's death. What'd you think we weren't going to get at? You think it, who the fuck did you lives forever?
I'm hoping for the best, Brett.
I think we all are. I mean, you know,
would you live here forever if you had the option?
Well, would I don't know. That's a tough question. I mean,
immortality.
There's too many people I want to see up there.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
For me, it's like I could do without them.
Really?
We talked about this a couple weeks ago. He just wants to live forever because he's scared of the dying.
I'm nervous.
But listen, man, when you talk with people that are like, because I agree with a lot of atheists on, because a lot of them use the experiences they've had with the religious people that are really fucking difficult. And I think normal people have those same issues too. But now we have an added thing when you're dealing with the, oh, come on, you really think? Yeah, I do. I really do. Just like I believe that there's aliens fucking that have been here already. Yeah. There has to be. I mean, there just has to be.
Well, it's like one thing I know for sure, you don't know. You know, like anyone I'm talking to about this shit, like I know you don't know because nobody fucking knows.
Yeah, I don't know either. That's the other thing.
That's why you have to keep it open mind. If you have a closed mind either way, it's like you're already dumb. Like you're not worth talking to.
Are really difficult, man, because they act like they know. And it's like, dude, you don't know.
Yeah.
That's why it's not just them.
It's almost everyone.
But I'm saying if people who are religious and they need to hear this shit, yeah. If you really knew 100%, then you don't have faith.
Right. Yeah.
So there has to be doubt in order for there to be faith. Mm-hmm. And if there's faith, that's what is rewarding, is believing in something that really logically doesn't make sense. I mean, it's funny. If you put it on paper, it doesn't make sense until you start bringing in physics and the vastness of the universe and energy and probability and mathematics, and I think it was what's his name, Tyson DeGrasse, whatever the hell his name is.
Tyson.
Yeah, Mike Tyson. I think when he was on the show,
the universe is impregnable.
When he was on the show, DeGrasse High. No, he said that mathematics is the language of the universe, and I believe that, which is classic math.
I hate math, but there is plenty of stuff that is scientifically proven that is still hard to wrap your brain around. And it's like, what the fuck? I can't believe that. Like just something stupid. It's like there's wasps that like turn other insects into zombies just for the purpose of like, you know, bringing their larva into the world. There's so much crazy
shit.
There's
all kinds of bugs that do that shit.
Yeah, they're the worst. But that like, you know, there's so many things that are scientifically proven and you can't wrap your brain around. And like, there's like 10,000 new species of just plant that is discovered every single year. There's so much that we don't know, and we're learning all the time, and opinions are changing all the time. So to like lock yourself in on something.
Well, you guys think Bigfoot's real?
Say what?
You think Bigfoot's real?
Absolutely.
Maybe.
I know people who will tell you he is real, and they'll give you they mean it. They give you like documented shit. They're like, oh, I watched a YouTube video. I'm like, all right, hold on. First of all,
I'm open to it.
He's been around for a while, man. You know, there could be, I mean, we've always been looking for that missing link on the evolutionary scale. And, yeah. And that's the other thing. Science and religion, I hate when people say, I believe in science. Science isn't a belief. It's a way of thinking. It's like a scientist doesn't care if he's right or wrong. He's going to go into something with...
A good scientist doesn't, yeah.
A good scientist. And it's the same thing with intellectuals. See, mm-hmm. It's very, how do I say this? It's very hard. There's not many intelligent people, right? But no. You could be an intellectual. See, mm-hmm. Talent is like, intelligence is like speed. You're either born with it or not. But intellectualism is a way that you can train yourself how to think and to remove emotion and, you know, just take things in and discard things and, you know, not, because there's a lot of people that, they act like they read, but they're only reading books that are supporting their point. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like confirmation bias. Yeah.
One of my favorite, there's a video of, I think it was Bert Ehrman. He's a very well famous atheist. And, but he's on this podcast with this dude, another atheist, who is trying to tell him that, because historically Jesus existed. I mean, that's a big consensus amongst historians. And Bert, the guy was telling the guy, I'm a historian, and yes, this is, but the guy just didn't want to hear it. And he's like, no, historically he existed. You know, yeah. Now did he walk on water? There's no history, you know, mm-hmm. that's coming from the Bible. See, me personally, I'm more New Testament. I don't know if I'm really into the Old Testament. New Testament type stuff, the way Jesus lived, the parables, the way he talked about how people should live and be nice to each other. Whether you think he's real or not, whoever came up with it is a brilliant author then.
Yeah, it's still a good concept for how to
change the way the whole world acts and behaves. Yeah. And, you know, and that's all I really care about. But me personally, I believe the guy was who he said he was.
All right. Well, I think that is a great way to wrap up this podcast. Thank you so much, Brett, for being a guest. What'd you say?
I think we nailed it.
Exactly. By the way, I don't know if you've ever seen Little Susie sing at the 18th Avenue Feast, but if you watch that, you're going to ask yourself, how the fuck isn't there a God? this slice, this square. Come on.
Aren't we the worst people ever invented?
Who?
All fucking Italians.
I dare you.
I think we're great. We changed. That's we a taught the world how to eat.
By the way, now we're fucking awesome.
We taught the world how to eat. We taught.
We taught the world how to eat.
We taught the world.
Why'd you invent telling you to eat with a fork?
No, remember on The Sopranos. You ever see that?
Yeah, of course. Yeah,
please tell me if you saw the friend. If you saw the Friends and you never saw The Sopranos.
Dude, I spent all of the first like 3 months of pandemic rewatching Sopranos, thinking I had every kind of cancer imaginable. It was the worst rewatch of a series ever.
No, but that was Junior. Fucking... He's like, bacala, what's bacala? And he's like, it's salted cod. We taught the world how to eat.
We taught the world how to eat. Been farting the same couch cushion for 30 years, Tony.
All right, let's do a quick round of plugs and we'll wrap. Maddie, what do you have to plug?
Social media at Jester Skulls, at Daddy Maddie JS on Twitter and Instagram. Jester Skulls on Xbox stuff. Twitch. I'm doing Twitch now. I'm crushing souls in fucking Rocket League. Try me, Shannon.
No, thank you. Brett, what would you like to plug?
January 8th, season 3 of Cobra Kai comes out on Netflix.
Make so sure excited.
Also,
gotta catch up on that.
Say what?
I said I got to catch up on that. I watched the first season. And I fucking fell off.
Watch your friends now, Maddie. Keep watching. January 7th through the 10th, I'll be at the Stress Factory in New Brunswick.
Awesome. Follow me on Instagram at ShannonLee6982. Wherever you listen to the show, you can watch it live for free every single Tuesday at 5:30 p.m. Eastern at GasDigitalNetwork.com/live. That's absolutely for free. The best way to support the show is to go to GasDigitalNetwork.com, use promo code TTI. You'll get a 2-week free trial plus access to all the other amazing shows on the network. If you hate it after 2 weeks, you can delete it. No big deal. If you listen on iTunes or YouTube, make sure to rate, review, tell a friend, subscribe. That's the best way to help out the show. And if you have stories to submit, bad dates, bad things, or scary things, send it to thethingispodcast@gmail.com. Go to podcastmerch.com for t-shirts, hoodies, and mugs. And that's it. We'll be back next week. Bye, guys.
Bye-bye.